Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
And this week, we are celebrating the 40th anniversary of Reanimator with Brian Usna.
With Brian fucking Usna. As he likes to be known. Reanimator will be celebrating its 40th anniversary proper coming next year. It was released in 1985. But there is a new 4K restoration of the movie coming out that Brian came onto the show to talk to us about.
We had so much fun sitting down to chat with him and talking about the making of the movie, his first time making a movie, coming to Hollywood.
What a crazy story.
Just like, I want to make a horror movie. And then he met up with Stuart Gordon, and Stuart Gordon was like, I also want to make a movie. And they made the best movie.
Oh my God. You're not kidding. It's one of the best movies ever made. It still totally holds up, and I can't wait to see it in 4K. Also, heads up, we both have colds this week, if you can't already tell. You're going to hear it all throughout the episode. But yeah, we're doing our best. We're hanging in there. We're barely hanging in there. As soon as we're done recording, I'm going to cough for an hour and a half and then eat a gallon of soup. That's my plan.
But thankfully, this is an interview episode, so you will not hear John very much.
Nope. Yeah, no, this was a great chat. We had a blast talking with Brian Usna. We talked about some of his other movies as well. Heads up, if you're a big Guyver fan, we talk a lot about Guyver.
And he gave us such a cool tour of his office.
He's got so much stuff in there. Like, it is like a horror nerd's playground with all of the cool stuff that he's got in his office. And of course, he's responsible for some of the best horror movies. We've been covered a bunch of his movies over the last few years. We just recently talked about Return of the Living Dead Part 3, another Brian Usna joint. Everybody loves Brad Reanimator in society. But today, we're here to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the one that started it all, Reanimator. Mr. Usna, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We're really excited to talk to you.
Are you anybody else here?
I would feel weird saying, hey, what's up, Brian? But if that's what you'd like, we can do it.
I've been called that my whole life.
That's a good point.
But that's when that's mostly I've been called that. I don't want you to know what other things I've been called.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, we're really excited to talk to you about Reanimator. I mean, it's kind of the movie that started it all for you. Does it feel like it was just yesterday?
No. It feels like a long time ago. I'm very gratified that there's still life in that syringe.
I love that. Did you guys feel when you were making it, were you like, we've got lightning in a bottle here, we've got something that we're going to have to talk about in 40 years?
I thought that because I was new to making movies, and that was really my first professional movie. I came out to LA to make movies, and I didn't know, you know, it was so exciting to do it that I just thought it was, you know, great. You know, everything was wonderful, you know. And it was a great experience because from the very beginning it was well received. And so it was like got all these good reviews and big sales, and don't talk to me about why I didn't get any of the money, but on the other hand, it was just, everything was so, you know, it was just a success out of the gate.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, wow, what a great business this is.
People always say so many bad things about Hollywood, but it's been nothing but great.
But when I directed my first movie, Society, I truly thought that movie was going to be number one in the country at the box office. I just thought it was so wonderful.
Yeah.
So you can't go by my taste. You know, I've learned that over the years, that I wish I had Spielberg's taste.
Oh, I would love it.
He likes, everybody likes.
Yeah, everybody likes Spielberg.
They like, very few people like. And I just didn't get that. You know, I just thought this stuff was wonderful.
It would have been so shocking if, like, to live in an alternate reality where we're doing these, like, 100 years of Hollywood, and we're seeing clips from Citizen Kane, and, you know, clips from Chinatown, and then the shunting from Society. I mean, that's the world you were hoping you'd be living in, but yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it, I guess I did think it would be number one, but I just thought all the horror fans would love it. All the genre people would love it. And they didn't. You know?
Oh, it's definitely found its audience now.
They weren't ready for it. Yeah.
In the UK, it was like a real theatrical release and got a good response. Also France, Italy, Spain, you know. I mean, not out of the roof. In UK, I think UK had the most success. But here, man, even my friends were...
They're like, it is great.
It was great,
Brian. Very good.
So was there any concern you had during Reanimator that it wasn't going well? Because, like, you wouldn't know, right, looking at it, just because it was so new?
It was like you're in the game, you know? I think it's like when you see athletes after the game or something. It's like I'm a baseball fan. And it's hard for me to watch the game, the Dodger games, because I'm looking at it like, oh no, I know it's going to go bad, But when you get the interviews with the people in the game, they say, no, when you're in the game, you're just, you just have to go forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it is making a movie. I mean, in making a movie, of course, it goes over a long period of time. There's lots of struggles, lots of obstacles. Often there's lots of people working against you, believe it or not. And so you're really struggling. Now with Reanimator, the unique thing about that movie for me is that because I got the money together to pay for it, I signed the checks. There was nobody to, I didn't have to go to anybody to get any permission to do anything. Nobody could question, you know, my decisions.
It's good to
now,
be a boss.
That didn't mean I did all the work on the movie. It just meant that there was that level of things that didn't exist. And usually, you know, one of the main areas that you get that become obstacles for you when you're making a movie is when the financing side of it is not in sync.
They have some artistic ideas.
Yeah. And when you're not, and also if you're not the, if you aren't responsible for, if you're not at risk for the money, then your point of view is different. Mm. When you are, you have a different point of view. Well, when you do both, it's kind of a, you're pushing and pulling. You know, you're pulling your own leash in a way. But I didn't even look at it that way for that. I think the struggles for me with Reanimator, for one thing, I was just learning how to make a Hollywood, what I thought was a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody, I think everybody, almost everybody on the crew was experienced. I mean, on the indie level, mm-hmm. you know, that independent level. In making movies, except for me and Stuart.
So,
but Stuart had been directing theater professionally for 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, I had been doing a lot of other stuff, and I had gotten into entertainment, and I had made like amateur movie and gotten into trying to sell it. But then I came to LA, I thought, I'm going to do it the right way. And so everybody was experienced but me. So I could never have been on that movie except by paying for it.
You hired yourself.
Nobody could fire me. But I think the struggle that we had, it was more like the struggle of time. Is this good enough?
Yeah.
You know, creatively, no, because Stuart and I were pretty much, you know, we pretty much were on board with together on, because we'd also developed the script together. So I worked with Stuart and Dennis Paoli to develop the script, because as you might know, when I met Stuart, I went to see him. I actually put a ad in Variety, Weekly Variety, saying horror movie director wanted. Yeah. I lived in North Carolina at that time.
Oh, wow.
And this is before fax machines. And I got like hundreds of letters.
Wow.
So I went out to LA and in New York, that's where they moved. That's where they all came from.
Yeah.
And I, just would meet five or six people a day. And then I went to, I couldn't really find anybody, but this guy named Bob Greenberg suggested to me that I go to Chicago, where he's from, and see Stuart Gordon. And so when I went to see Stuart, then he and Dennis Paoli and Bill Norris had already written a pilot, a TV pilot on Reanimator. And I said, well, let's do it. I bought him immediately. I went to see a couple of his plays and talked to him. And I said, but I want to make a feature film. And so then the first thing I did was read the stories. And I saw they had a guy without a head. And that's in the movie. I'm a horror fan.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, talking heads and the brain that wouldn't die and Vincent Price Carey finding the head in the closet,
right?
and House on Haunted Hill. You know, severed heads are just part of the deal.
Iconic.
Exactly.
So you can see it really, it changed. All of a sudden we had a villain. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we were, you know, there was never any kind of creative
that's good
tension, I think. Did we have trouble was with just doing it without working 15 hours a day.
Oh, good luck. Yeah.
And then we at first were the photography wasn't really working right. And so there was a lot. And then at the end, we shot it in 16 days.
Wow.
And so then we cut it. And then I felt like we had to reshoot some effects at the end.
Yeah.
And also shoot the prologue.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Stuart and I certainly had, it's not like we didn't argue or anything.
Of course.
It was stuff like, you know, at the beginning, for example. Well, I'll tell you from the very beginning.
Let's hear it.
I went to Chicago to the Organic Theater, which Stuart was the director of, and he said, let's shoot it in black and white on 16 millimeter in a basement.
Yeah. Hey, true artist.
I want to make a Hollywood movie. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, people won't be able to see the blood.
They won't know what we're going to do. You know? I said, I want to make a Hollywood movie, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was the prologue was originally, it was already written, but it was cut out for time. Mm-hmm. And then after we cut it together, I said, we need the prologue. And Stuart said, didn't really think so, but I said, well, let's do it. And because he had already gone back to Chicago and we had to shoot all these inserts, you know, the mm-hmm. chest bursting and that stuff, it didn't work that well. There's a lot of effects that didn't work, and you had to do them again. And the prologue we shot at that time. And I think there was a little bit of Stuart did a cut and he went back. The cut was over 2 hours long.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I sat with Lee Percy, who in the new 4K edition has a interview. There's an extra with the interview with Lee Percy.
Right on.
And we started, he rearranged some scenes, but he started cutting it tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point I talked to Stuart and he was, because we had sent him a VHS tape and then we had come in to talk about it. And he's going, hey, you know, it's going too fast or something. And, we ended up cutting it real tight. We went down to really 84 minutes plus 3 minutes credits.
See, that's directors, though. Every director could do a 4-hour cut of their own movie.
No, not necessarily. But it was Stuart's first movie, too.
Oh, sure. Mm.
Yeah. You know, if he had really not agreed, he would have. You know, Stuart's not, he's not somebody that rolls over for anybody. Not at all.
That's good. I mean, that's what you want.
To a detriment. But after it was done, and I remember it was right after the Variety review came out, and it said it was a roller coaster ride. Stuart said, you're right about the cut.
Yeah, You're like, I was waiting for that. You want to say it one more time?
But Stuart, normally, he was very good at cutting. I think once he made a couple, once we made the first three movies together.
Yeah.
Balls and From Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of got, you know, we kind of, I mean, we were together all through the pre-production.
Yeah. You build that trust and you kind of know what to expect.
So I think we were kind of learning together. And it was really Lee Percy who I don't know about editing, but by going through the process with someone with his talent, then you just learn by doing, you know.
Yeah, we've seen that longer cut, and it's got some really interesting stuff in it, like some really weird detours that it takes and sort of fleshes out some other stuff. But like, yeah, I love how I've always loved like how fast Reanimator is. It's just nonstop.
It's very like frenetic. It really boogies.
Yeah. It's the Goodfellas of gory movies.
Well, it's lucky. It's 40 years old the next year.
Yeah.
Next May is the 40th anniversary of the first actual screening of it. It was at the Cannes Film Market in May 13th of 1985. And it was at the Star Theater. I think it was a midnight show. And it was raining. And when I went to it, people were lined up.
Oh, that's
got to feel cool.
And it was a movie theater that turned into a three screen. So many people were there, they had to put them in the next screening room.
Right.
And they took the print, which was still kind of an answer. It wasn't even the final.
Wow.
And I mean, in terms of lab, not in terms of cutting or anything.
Sure.
And it wasn't like a release print. And so after the one reel was shown, they would move it to the next theater.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so successful. I mean, people were clapping and stomping at the end. And I thought, wow, it's this movie business.
Yeah. It's all going to be just like this every time.
So next May, we will do a screening in Cannes again.
Right on.
To commemorate. And we're commemorating the 40th anniversary with a 4K restoration that Ignite Films, in conjunction with Eagle Rock Films, has done the restoration at Roundabout, which is a top restoration place here in Burbank.
Oh wow!
And they did the restoration of Invaders from Mars, the old 50s
movie,
which was extraordinary and award winning and all that. And they really do a top notch job. And Ignite did a great job of handling it and putting it out. So that's what we're doing. For Reanimator for the 40th anniversary. So that's great. Have this 4K is amazing.
I was going to ask if you'd seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have some like special screenings next year at different, cons and festivals.
Oh yeah.
And, I think it's next week. What's today? It's the 11th. So on the 16th, there'll be pre-orders available at ignitefilms.com.
Hell yeah.
And then in April 3rd, that's when it'll go out on the street. It'll all be through Ignite all next year. And then it'll go to like MVD and Amazon and
all this
type of stuff. But there'll be different packages. They'll have the special pack, special box.
Yeah, this giant box.
You'll get like neon
syringe.
Green liquid.
Yeah. Which will, have all of them will have a bunch of new extras, as though if you've gotten the last Blu-ray, it's like as though this movie needs more extras. Right?
Yeah,
but you've always got to add them. So we've got a kind of a chat with me and Barbara and Jeffrey at Roundabout. We watched, I think they took some footage of us watching, looking at the restoration and the big screening room. And then we just talked about, making it and everybody involved and Stuart and all that. And then as I said, there's a, a new interview with Lee Percy, who edited the movie and who I don't think he's ever appeared in an extra.
Oh, wow.
And then there's another little documentary and I think there's a documentary on the Organic Theater, which is Stewart's theater company. So you get to see Stewart back when he was 25 years old, 28. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Working on that. And in the box, there's a book, a hardcover book, just the size of the, you know, of the 4K, but it's a book about it. I wrote the introduction. There's a, you know, Barbara wrote something, you know, it's, and there'll be pictures and stuff. So that's an extra that you get with most of the different levels of it.
It's got everything. Damn.
And that's there, cool. The box, the high-end box set. I mean, it's a 150-page book, so it's not like
that's a book.
It's a whole ass book.
All the different versions of the movie, and then some collector's art cards. But the thing I like the best is there's a Dr. Hill bobblehead.
Oh yeah, right on.
which I think is kind of cool.
That is really cool.
It's Dr. Hill holding his head.
I was going to say, where is the head bobbling from?
And you know how he wore that plaster head?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got the plaster head in it. It's just like the bobblehead you get at Dodger Stadium or something. Yeah. But with the box, you know, made by the same people. So it has the real nice box, you know, packaging and everything.
That's great. So,
and then there's some, you know, some kind of like you know, promotional stuff, like if your box has a green syringe in it, then you'll get a free signed poster by Jeffrey Barber and me, you know, that.
Oh, that's fun.
So you get, you know, to try to get people, it's a limited edition, so you know.
Reanimated version of the golden ticket.
Yes.
Well, they always make the high end one limited.
Yeah,
because it's really about resale market.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know that, but in video distribution or on anything really, sneakers,
everything's
the
limited.
The first thing that goes out is for collectors, mm-hmm. and that means that it's really for people who buy them up and then resale. At a much higher price because it's limited. And I think that's the way, I think, I don't know. I guess the logic is that it gets excitement going.
Oh yeah. Well then too, because if you've got it on an auction market, it goes higher.
And then there's people buying immediately.
Yeah. Well, and now with TikTok and unboxings.
I'll wait until next month or, you know, mm-hmm. so it just kind of gets the ball rolling. And then there's another level down that isn't limited, but it has all the extras. It's got the book and the cards, but no bobblehead. And you know how it goes. Everyone goes, you know, has less special stuff.
I mean, like 40 years later, like after, you know, you've got like a large,
you got to do something.
You got to commemorate it.
But it's a no brainer that, like, you know, somebody would give you and Stewart money to make the movie. But like at the time, neither of you have done anything.
Oh, I borrowed the, just a second. I borrowed.
So that's what I wanted to know. I'm like, who gave you the money to do this? How did you convince anybody?
Wow. And I took my money. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, good for you.
It was all on me.
You really weren't joking when you said you were signing the shirts.
There were two people who actually, even the people that invested the money, I guaranteed it personally to pay them back.
Wow.
So that's how stupid I was. because if it hadn't made its money back,
yeah,
you know, I might still be paying it.
That's
know?
True. I mean, it wouldn't be. I mean,
and at interest, and at a guaranteed, a guaranteed return. So I just went way off on the deep end, and luckily,
yeah,
I put my risk on Stuart Gordon. You know,
and when you were going into it, were you always like, "We're doing a horror movie. I want to do horror."
Well, that's yeah. I didn't. I mean, I'm a horror fan.
Yeah,
and I was sort of playing around at the same time with a comedy with this guy named Martin Kotroser. You know, I just kept thinking, I like comedies. Mm. And I just kept thinking, you know, if it isn't funny, I'm dead.
Yeah.
But a horror movie, I'm a horror fan. And the reason I know that I'm a horror fan is because I'm a movie fan. I'm Film Street, right? The reason I know I'm Nightmare is because I like all good movies. I like every genre.
Yeah.
Romantic comedy, drama, action, sci-fi, thriller, film noir, you name it, if they're good.
Mm. There you go.
A horror movie, I like the bad ones.
Yeah, they don't have to be good.
That makes me a horror fan.
That's how you know.
Not just a film fan. That makes me a horror fan. And so I knew that if I made the movie with the elements that I like, I said, even if the movie isn't so good, I know there's a lot of horror fans out there who will like it.
Yeah,
who exactly. Will watch it.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It was a guarantee.
And it makes sense that you say that you really like comedy too, because I mean, Reanimator has that in its bones. It's very zany. Yeah. It's got humor in it.
Mm-hmm. It's not a horror comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I always think that it's got fun and irony.
Yeah, it's got personality.
And it goes, so of course you, and some of that, I mean, Stuart kind of pushed back on the idea that there was anything humorous about it. And yet, when we were working on the script, we were laughing our asses off.
You're saying you didn't know Cat Dead details later wasn't a joke?
Exactly. But see, and that's, but Stuart said, no, we're making a scary movie, you know? And we would watch movies. I've always, from the time they had projection television, I have. Mm. And we would watch at my house, we'd just watch horror movies. And we'd watch stuff like Rosemary's Baby. I think we watched that two or three times because that really influenced Stuart. He said, oh, this is how we should shoot it. Because Rosemary's Baby, you're always with Rosemary.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, they follow her. It's always over her shoulder. If you do an over-the-shoulder shot, it's kind of like you're the actor. And so if you notice in Reanimator, there's a lot of over, and also in From Beyond, mm-hmm. a lot of over-the-shoulders. And, you know, it's just, he didn't, you know, it's not really like Rosemary's Baby, but that was kind of the influence he had. And instead of doing static shots and jump cuts, and, you know, there's a lot of things you could do. But we did have a good time. So I was, you know, it always surprised me about the comedy, but a lot of that had to do with Rick Band, Richard Band was the composer. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to get into the plagiarism theme and all that, but, But he was he told me when he was starting to score it, he said, "Look at I just did this movie. I think it was called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or something, a cheap horror movie from the 80s. And he said, "You know, it had this funny stuff in it, but the producers didn't want me to score anything funny. They wanted it scored straight away, you know, scary." And he said it really hurt the movie. Then you're watching kind of absurd stuff, but the music kind of tells you how you should.
If it's telling you not to laugh.
And he said, "You really, I'd like to do, you know, do some, you know, more humorous cues." So I think the best example of that is when Dr. Hill comes into his lab, into his office, with his head in the pan. Mm-hmm. He's headless, and he puts it down on the table to go get the blood to pour in. And he keeps bumping into stuff. And he's like, you know, if you scored that straight, you kind of feel awkward, but you kind of feel like, I don't know, this is kind of a bad movie, isn't it?
Do they know this is silly?
Exactly. But when he scored it kind of up, you know, funny, then you know that you can laugh at it. It's okay.
Suddenly you have permission.
And I think there's, you know, it's, you know, everything has to, I mean, of course, I learned from that, that everything, and working with different editors and composers, it's, you know, you really have to find the tone, and everything has to work for it, or else, you know, you don't know how to approach the movie, unless it's just so much cookie cutter that we know, you know, it's, if it's a romantic Christmas movie, you know, everything fits the pattern. You know, but if you're trying to, if it's something that maybe is a little different, well, you got to be careful, because people need to feel like they're in good hands. I always say, you know, the kind of horror movie I like is the, it's kind of like the theme park ride, or the, you know,
the haunted house attraction,
roller coaster type. You know, you're having the fun of having vertigo, but you don't have to drive a car around, screeching around cliffs where you can actually get killed. You're just enjoying it in the movie, you know? But you don't, you want to feel like the filmmakers are, that you're in good hands. They're not going to, you know, you can just let go, and they're going to take you. And I think that's what Stewart and Mac Oliver and the actors and Lee Percy, I think that's what they combined to do, which is make you feel like, well, you start that movie, you just feel like you're just being pulled, you're just being swept along.
I
think the great thing about it, that I think the proof of that is that Reanimator tends to get even new young audience. You know, it's, there's a lot of really great movies that don't hold up. I have a grandson that's 17, and I watch, you know, he's come over to watch movies.
That's pretty cool.
And one time we watched Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Scream. You can see the line, right? The one he liked the best was Scream. The one that I never liked.
Oh, really? Wow.
You know, I mean, I liked it enough, but, you know, I appreciate Halloween because it really kind of broke new ground. I mean, it really was really important at the time, and it has a lot, you know, there's a, I like the boogeyman, you know, that kind of urban legend type of story, you know, that Michael Myers isn't, you know, they're not trying to make him a real person. He's the cipher. He's the boogeyman.
Yes.
You know, he just disappears, you know. He has all this time to set up these very intricate tableaus of dead bodies, you know.
I know, he's been lifting weights in the mental hospital.
Yeah, just going to yank that tombstone out of there.
Somehow accelerate through time or something.
Yeah. But,
and Nightmare on Elm Street, when I first saw that, I thought, oh my God, this is great, because it had this sort of surreal aspect that I like. And mm-hmm. I thought it was, you know, when you first see Freddy in the alley and stuff, I mean, and it's all puppet type of stuff.
Yeah,
and
yep.
And it was just, you know, it was scary, I thought. And the imaginative, you know, kind of scenes like when, you know, when he is bouncing off the ceiling, bloodily being killed.
Yes.
Was that Johnny Depp, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When he gets sucked into the bed.
And I worked with Jacques Haken, who was the DP of it, and he was telling me that, you know, Wes Craven built the bedroom and mm-hmm. spun it,
yeah,
so he would bounce. Well, today Jeez. It would all be digital, and
yeah, and that's why Nightmare on Elm Street holds up, because all of the practical effects just are so phenomenal. Even watching it today, like even just like when he reaches through the wall and it's like nylon stocking or something,
it's so simple and it totally
holds
up.
So good.
Have you had a chance to watch? Has your grandson watched Reanimator yet? Like with or without?
Yeah, he's seen it. He didn't watch it with me though. So
okay.
I don't.
Do you know if he liked it?
But he liked Scream the best. He liked Scream the best, and Scream was, I think Scream's what, 20 years old now?
No, almost. Yeah, almost.
25 or more, which is still old, but Nightmare on Elm Street is 40 years old.
Yep, 40 this year.
I mean, we're talking, when I first saw the Universal horror movies, Frankenstein and stuff on TV is where when I first saw them, they were like, Frankenstein was made in 32. I probably saw it in 62. Mm-hmm. So it was 40 years old. So when you think of that black and white movie I saw in the early 60s, that was 40 years old. And Nightmare on Elm Street's 40 years old.
Yeah.
And Night of the Living Dead is, what is it? 50, 60 years old.
60? Yeah.
Almost 60.
Almost,
I mean, you're talking about silent era or something. So it's hard if you were around. The movies you see when you're young, by the time you get old, they're like, it's so far out of the technical and storytelling culture that very hard to relate to. Most people can't watch a silent movie.
Yeah.
The only way you can do it is if you really make a point of it, or watching any old movies. You've got to, it's like going to a museum. You got to get that, you know, the context of the painting you're looking at, because you don't have any context for it. And I think people look at old movies, they don't have the context for it to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
And so most people can't watch an old movie, and by old, you're probably talking about 10, 20 years old.
Yeah, the movie, they get old, you know, like everything gets old so fast. But a Reanimator and Brad Reanimator, they really hold up. I've shown them to a lot of people, and it always plays.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Reanimator, I think it somehow, and it, because we didn't have enough money, we just basically shot it all on a set, you know. It's all interiors. There's not one exterior shot. Establishing shots.
That prologue, yeah.
And the prologue's interior.
Yeah.
You know? It's all we see is the hospital from outside.
Mm-hmm.
The so-called Swedish medical school.
Yeah.
The house that West and Dan are gonna rent. We never see anybody walk up to it. Only we see the house. Why is that? It's because we couldn't afford to risk rain.
Yeah, we couldn't that's
afford,
smart.
You couldn't stop, yeah.
We couldn't afford to say, we're going to shoot this and we're going to light the outside and we're going to, it was like, no, and the first AD just said, in production said, hey, let's just not do anything outside because then we can control it. We can, mm-hmm. you know, and the fact that there's nothing in it that kind of, you don't see a car. Well, if you don't see a car, you don't know it's 1984. You know?
That's true.
You know?
That's a really good point. It's,
you know, we do see that old phone, so, you know.
Yeah.
The hospital looks, you know, more or less.
Morgues don't change.
Yeah, they kind of look exactly the same.
You know, and West and Dan are nerds. They look just like yeah. Well, not really. I think nerds today are much nerdier.
Yeah, no, Wes and Dan, they don't really have a lot of posters on their walls or anything.
Well,
you know, not that you don't
stop,
have a bunch of posters
on
your wall.
We did have the Stop Making Sense poster by the Talking Head.
Oh, I remember seeing that. That's a weird thing that I noticed.
That's in the background of the on the wall above the bed where Dan, yeah. where we're introducing Dan and Meg's relationship.
Yeah, speaking of stuff that people have on their walls, is that the mask from Guyver behind you?
Yeah, we just put out the 4K of Guyver.
Oh wow!
Oh.
We have a
new 4K release.
That's great. We have a friend who's like an evangelical fan of Guyver who's been like it's still on our watch list. We haven't watched it yet, but he's been bugging us like every 6 weeks.
Guyver. Well, this is the Japanese Guyver poster.
That looks really
that's
cool.
Great.
Which makes it look a lot cooler. I mean, the movie itself is a little bit Ninja Turtles, but with the greatest suits ever, right? Yeah. I mean, the suits in Guyver are as good as Predator. It's way beyond the budget of the movie, but that's because Steve Wang and Streaming Mad George are two effects guys. Mm-hmm. Steve Wang actually worked on the effects for Predator.
Oh, wow.
Rad.
Okay, you'd say, what's the best suit ever is probably Creature from the Black Lagoon from the 50s.
Right.
Because that one, actually, they had to swim in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
no air bubbles
in
that one, yeah.
Now, of course, everything's CG, so there's probably not going to be a lot of competition.
Yeah.
But the level of those suits, and especially, you know, monsters doing kung fu. I don't think, you know, we're going to see that. So that's that poster, and this is what I was given. That I don't know if I've done it. I may not have a battery in here. It's
supposed to. This thing lights up.
Oh, here you go.
Oh yeah, right on.
That's amazing.
That's great.
And then it's with this little stand, so you can put it on. You know, you can put it on the wall. I just haven't put it up. So that's pretty cool.
That is really
that
cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, no, we've always wanted to cross that one off the list. I know it's got great special effects. And honestly, if it's ever got your name in a producer credit or a director credit, I know we're in for a good time.
Well,
so we gotta watch it soon.
This is definitely an amazing, Screaming Mad George and Steve Wynne co-directed.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do it the way the Coen brothers do it or anything. they checkerboarded scenes. So we had two units going. So it's a little.
That's incredible.
I'll show you a Guyver thing here.
Yeah, let's see it.
This is when we were looking for a distributor. We made this up to. We sent it out to all the studios. So this was.
This is really cool.
And then here's all the actors.
Hey, cool.
Hey, we turned Mark Hamill into a giant insect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And we got David Gale in it. We have Kid Dynamite.
The classic.
We have, oh, of course, what's his name? Michael Berryman.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
So then you turn it, and you
see
who they turn into.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty rad.
You see, that's our hero.
That's pretty
cool. He turns into the guy. Mark Hamill, we didn't put the insect in there.
You didn't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
So here's Michael Berryman, and he turns into Mr. Boss. And then...
this is cool.
And then Mitzi, who is... what's her name? Gosh, I forget. She was a great actress. What's her name? Vivian Wu. She doesn't turn into anything. David Gale turns into... The monster is too cool. You gotta
watch the movie.
This is how you get it sold, yeah.
And Jimmy Walker turns into...
Wow.
Man, these are amazing. Then,
we don't have anything like this anymore. Everything's just a digital press kit
and
with
then
some
everything
photos.
Inside we had, you know, pictures and stuff and a toy of
That's
one
great.
Of the creatures. Because these, you know, this is a anime.
Yeah.
And it was actually the first anime, the first manga or anime, Japanese anime or manga, made into a Hollywood movie.
Oh, that's cool.
Good for you.
So anyway.
Way ahead of the curve.
So that's actually out on 4K.
I hope he's going to come back with a cute dog.
It's out on 4K.
Oh, shoot. Here we go.
Ooh.
I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reflection here.
I know. This is always a nightmare whenever we try and review movies, too.
It's,
we always have reflections.
It's the television reflection,
yeah. That's okay.
But anyway, so the 4K has, you know, we can see new art. And
hell yeah.
You can have, you know, it's lots of extras, you know, the whole thing.
Yep.
It's also, this is sold through Unearthed Films, which is actually the same guys. So I can promote it.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
But the Reanimator 4K, of course, will be much more, is on a higher level than this.
You know, of course.
Definitely a movie that deserves the first class treatment. You know, they're spending a lot of money. I mean, that restoration is like crazy expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's like restoring a Hollywood classic.
That's awesome. We cannot wait to see it. Absolutely, and I hope we get to go to one of the screenings because we have not seen Reanimator with an audience. And
no.
I think that would just be really neat to do.
Well, we're thinking about doing kind of a, they're talking about it, doing, mm-hmm. or trying to get it going, is to do kind of a limited theatrical release just as a publicity thing. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, 4K really, I mean, you can, you know, when you go to festivals and stuff, they're basically projecting Blu-rays.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
Essentially.
I mean, that's pretty much what they show, unless it's at the New Beverly here in town.
Yeah. Always on film.
Where are you guys located?
Well, we're actually in Canada. We're up in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Okay, Winnipeg. So you're about an hour or two difference?
Yeah.
I'm at almost 5 o'clock. You're probably almost 7?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
7, okay. Well, I worked in Vancouver.
Oh, cool.
On Crying Freeman, which was never released in North America.
No.
Because of kind of financial political issues.
Okay. Mm. So when are we getting the 4K of Bride Reanimator with a little plush heart that comes with it?
that'll be the subject of our next
It better be
podcast.
Yeah, amazing.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah, John's a big Bride Reanimator fan.
Oh yeah.
Well, this is my favorite Bride Reanimator.
Here we go. What's he got?
I love this.
I love this by Monstars, their Bride of Reanimator figure of the...
Oh yeah,
I love this little guy.
That's great. I love that you have it in the box.
I actually have it, but it's downstairs.
Mm. Okay.
But I keep the box. I think the box is really great.
That's great.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, huge fan of Brad Reanimator. Reanimator, obviously one of our favorites. We talk about it all the time. And I'm really excited for people to check out this 4K. Really excited to check it out ourselves.
And from Middle of Beyond, now they're the ones that are doing the Dr. Hill bobblehead.
Oh, cool. They have some great stuff.
Yeah, but this is their Dr. Hill's
head in a tray.
And
that's
it's
so cool.
It's actually a tiki mug.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
But they can't call it a tiki mug.
No. It's a ceramic mug. Yeah.
I use it to keep my pencils in.
That's really fun.
You could put a cactus in there, right?
Absolutely.
Cactus.
That'd
and
be
it
fun.
Comes with a tray.
Oh, that's great.
It's in the tray. And different colors. You can get different color schemes. So that's Middle of Beyond.
That's great.
That's great. Yeah, they have some really cool stuff.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Sure.
And showing us all your stuff.
It's so cool.
Okay, so remember, December the 16th, you can pre-order at ignite-films.com. On Thursday, April 3rd, you can get street date delivery. But then you'll have to wait till next year if you want to do it through the regular retail stuff.
And if you happen to be in Cannes in
good
May.
Stuff, and look out for the screenings.
Amazing.
And talk to Ignite and tell them that you want to have a screening up at Winnipeg.
Yeah, we should.
You should do a Nightmare on Film Street.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. So we've actually started hosting movie nights. We did one in Kansas City last week with Cabin in the Woods. We did a House on Haunted Hill.
I love Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun.
The original House on Haunted Hill or the new one?
The original.
Thank God.
We love the remake, but we know it's so bad, it's good. but it's bad, but great.
Why did Joel Silver ruin all those movies? The 13 Ghosts was awful.
It's, awfully
it has its
amazing.
Yeah, it's awfully amazing. Yeah, I don't know. Jeffrey Rush.
Make all the walls glass.
Although, hey, it was the early 2000s.
Although that's less obscene than the remake of The Haunting.
I agree with you.
It's not great. I'll admit it.
Yeah. Kim's a big fan of that one.
But maybe we'll get you up in Winnipeg for a screening.
You know what? They're looking for places to promote the 4K by doing screenings.
That'd be fun.
So just tell them, look at guys, let's do a screening up here and that'll get the people up in Winnipeg.
We've definitely got a vested interest in it. So we were hosting those screenings to promote a book we wrote. Like we wrote a cocktail book and we have cocktails for each of those movies. So we also have a Reanimator cocktail.
Oh, we should show you.
Yeah, I'm going to find it in this book. Okay. The book's called Cocktails from the Crypt.
Okay.
So it's nice. all different movie-inspired cocktails.
Nice embossed cover.
Yes,
thank you so much. We wanted to make it like a gift, like a Christmassy gift.
And this is our Reanimator drink.
So what is it? Midori?
It is.
Yeah, you knew right away. Yeah. So like, it's also got like we've got a broken pencil in there. We've got a gooey eyeball.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And then like the brain map.
Yeah, it's in our tiki chapter, and it's rum and Midori.
I know it would serve perfect in the Dr. Hill head you have.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Well, get Middle of Beyond and tell them. You want to send you up a bunch of these mugs, and you can have the collector's edition drink.
That's amazing.
The Reanimator screening.
Hell yeah!
We'll send you a copy of the book for your office. It'll go great.
Well, I'd love to have it.
Oh, amazing!
It was truly great talking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much to Brian Usna for sitting down and chatting with us about Reanimator and celebrating the 40th anniversary. Check out the 4K restoration. Pick yourself up a copy, pre-order it so you can get it when it comes out. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait until it hits a retailer.
Yeah, and keep an eye out for some of those film festival screenings, some of those roadshow screenings that they're doing.
We'll probably be at a couple
of them. Definitely gonna go. We're gonna try and set up one in Winnipeg if we can. But that's gonna do it for this week. We'll be back again soon, talking about some more movies that we watched in 2024, some other stuff that we want you to keep an eye out for, other movies that we loved. But until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink... You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.